You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about all things Indiana Pacers. And today is the last day of March, which felt like the longest 31-day period in human history. I'm not really sure how it only was 31 days. And I want to do something fun. And we've been covering the 2000 NBA Finals. And one of my colleagues over at the Fieldhouse thinks that the best player on the Pacers during said series was not Reggie Miller. So today we're doing a whole show on Jalen Rose. And I just spoiled who's here. Jonathan Washburn, fellow Fieldhouse writer, is here. Jonathan, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the pod. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. This is exciting for me.
Very few people ever say that line. I want that joke to be made more often. So we're talking Jalen Rose today, which is great because, ironically, we just did Game 2 yesterday, and that was the Jalen Rose game. Like, I always knew Jalen Rose was good, especially in 2000, because, of course, that was his MIP year, 18 points a game. That team was lights out from three, best in the league. He was one of the best at it. But I think this is really opening to my eyes and giving credence to your point that he might have been the best player on that team, in the series at least.
Yeah. So, you know, even in my opinion, even if he wasn't the best player, I think he might have been the most important player for reasons that will probably, you know, come up in this podcast. But, you know, those late 90s, early 2000s Pacers teams were very good. But they had one fatal flaw that Jalen basically had to hold up, you know, entirely by himself almost. And that's specifically the ability for him to create a shot either for himself or for others while he had the ball. You know, those Pacers teams were really good at a lot of things. Reggie, you know, maybe one of the top three or four best movers off the ball in NBA history, right? Reggie could create shots for himself and for other people simply by his off-ball movement. But without Jalen's playmaking and creation ability with the ball in his hands, those Pacers teams were, you know, they had a lot of problems scoring at some key points and some, you know, in some pretty big moments.
Absolutely. Mark Jackson was obviously like the passer, but I think not that he was a bad passer. I don't want to deflate what he could do as a point guard for these teams. But I think I recognizing now watching these games that a lot of his assists were like timing within a set, you know, like he was really good at reading. Oh, okay. This double pin down thing is going to work. Rick's going to be open. Here's the ball. And that's a skill. Like being able to see that ahead of time is important, but outside of his miraculously long backdowns, I never was like, oh, man, Mark Jackson made all that happen. You know, maybe that's isolated to this finals, and I know we're kind of talking about how Jalen was so valuable in that series, but I never felt like even the 8-assist Mark Jackson was like the setup man. Like, oh, my God, they need to get Mark Jackson out there to create some points for other guys. Whereas with Rose, like you just said, it was almost – it didn't matter who was guarding him. And it's kind of like with TJ Warren this year. This is a terrible player comparison, but I promise it'll come together. Like, oh, okay, our Mark Jackson read, our set did not work. Here, Jalen, you do it. And then they throw it to him, and boom, he could get to his spot and get a shot. That's why he shot 23 times, and it was working. He was scoring plenty of times, getting to the foul line. So I totally think that that's right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things, you know, when you look at passing – when you look at assists, but when you look at passing in general, I think that one thing that becomes very difficult to do as the years go by is to really evaluate passers as they were in the moment, simply from looking at a box score, right?
Right.
Because all assists and all passes are not created equally. You know, Manu Ginobili, in my opinion, is sincerely one of the best passers I've ever seen play basketball. Yet if you ever look at his assist numbers, they're kind of underwhelming because he was never really in the position to, you know, accumulate a lot of assists. And kind of like what you're talking about with Mark Jackson, you know, young Mark Jackson on the Knicks, you know, in the 80s, early 90s, Mark Jackson was a really exciting player. He did a lot of, you know, he could create for others, but as he got older, especially like Pacers Mark Jackson, you're exactly right. He made the right read a lot. You know, he passed to open guys. His passes were always, you know, on time, on target, you know, right in the shooting pocket so Reggie could shoot while in motion, coming off of a screen while curling, right? Mark Jackson was a great passer like that. But he wasn't necessarily the guy that could manipulate a defense in the way that sort of like LeBron or Manu Ginobili would, where they manipulate a defense and they're thinking, I'm going to make this move to make these two guys move this way so that this guy in the corner will be more open by 3 feet.
Right.
And like, as I remember Jalen Rose, which full disclosure, Jalen's always been my favorite Pacer. He's still my favorite Pacer to this day. And, you know, it was funny. Well, I was watching some old games to study up for this. And it's funny how your mind remembers something completely different than what actually happened, right? Like in my mind, Jalen Rose was the only player that showed up in the fourth quarter of game 7 against the Bulls in 1998. And in my mind, he was unstoppable and single-handedly kept the Pacers in that game. And then in actuality, he played the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, had 4 points, and then left. Right? So you know, some of this stuff can be tough. But
exactly how you remember. Exactly how you
remember. As I remember Jalen, he was one of the only players that could create his own shot, but also he had that Manu-esque feel for the game where he could take a screen from Antonio Davis 20 feet out on the elbow. And as he's coming around, he could feel what the defense was going to do. And he would hit Reggie on the weak side, or he'd hit Antonio Davis rolling, or he was a really great entry passer, which anyone that, you know, cheered for the Pacers the last decade understands that all entry passing is a skill that we have often lacked.
Yes, my God.
And so Jalen, you know, full disclosure, Jalen's my guy, but on that team specifically, especially in that year 2000, he was absolutely essential. He was vital. Without him, the Pacers, you know, the Pacers may not even get by Philadelphia in the second round of 2000. So, you know, yeah, Jalen was that dude. As the kids say these days, Jalen was a real one. And, I am here to pound the pavement for Jalen Rose to make sure that the kids put some respect on his name.
Hey guys, quick break to talk about the lovely people at MyBookie who know that sports have come to a halt, but they're not going to let it get you down in the betting department. Stay sane and entertained with access to your favorite games, blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter when you're out on the front lines or quarantined at home. The fun doesn't have to come to an end thanks to MyBookie. Video poker, not your thing, but still need a fix. They got you covered. They have a host of live casino dealers online 24/7. Your favorite team sidelined because of the pandemic? No problem. They've got you partnered there, partnering with some esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20. Plus, you can do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. You can trust MyBookie.ag. They're reliable, uptight, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. Visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA, all one word, all caps, for a 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to receive a 150% cash bonus on your first deposit and claim those extra funds all the way up to $750. MyBookie.ag, you spin, you win, you get paid.
So I'm going to continue with these modern comparisons because I'm young and annoying. Well, actually, first I want to say, love Victor Oladipo. That dude sucks at entry passes. Okay, next. Our passing comparison for Pacers era Mark Jackson and Jalen Rose would be like Darren Collison and Brogdon to me. Darren Collison, decent assist numbers. Like, okay, yeah, he passed to the popping big man. Good job. Or, yo, okay, you threw it over the wing and the guy made a bucket. Good job. Brogdon, I didn't know he'd be a passer. Brogdon comes around a screen and makes a skip pass or, like, bounces it over. Right. You know what I mean? Like, that little extra something or another that the defense has to go, oh, shit, you know, we weren't ready for that. And then all of a sudden you've created something. I think that is where what you see in the difference. Not that one is – like one is clearly more talented than the other. Not that one is more important than the other. But I think it separates him in terms of a creator on the basketball court. But, yeah, man, I like hearing all this stuff because – like being separated from it, even coming back from a 10,000 foot view and seeing it, it's like, oh, wow, Jalen Rose was really good. But I still can't have the feel of like, oh, what did he do during the season? How important was he during the season? All that stuff. And
right. Yeah. You know, it just to go back to Mark Jackson a little bit, you know, to be fair to him, I think if you watched earlier Mark Jackson, you would see a more.
Oh, I've exciting, seen some earlier Mark Jackson.
More.
I've watched some of the Knicks series in the 90s.
Yeah. But you're totally right. At this point in 2000, in 98, 99, 2000, Mark Jackson was not a creator. And I said it before, Jalen Rose was really the Pacers' only guy that could create for himself and for others. With if you gave him the ball with 6 seconds left on the shot clock, he could do something. No one else on the Pacers, even peak Reggie Miller, struggled to really do that. And, you know, Jalen has all these great games that kind of go unremembered, I think. You know, game two in the finals was obviously probably his greatest performance. And unfortunately, Kobe got big and, you know, they didn't pull that one out. But game five that year, he had like 27 points in the first 25 minutes of the game in a 33 point blowout against the Lakers. So, you know, he was feeling it that game. I think that's the game the Pacers made like their first seven threes or something, and Jalen maybe made three or four of those. But then you also have the 40-point game that he had against Philly early in that same playoffs, where he and Reggie both had 40 points in the same game, and they were the first and only players to ever, you know, teammates to ever do that in the same game until I think LeBron and Kyrie did it a couple years ago in the finals. But yeah, man, Jalen, the other thing about Jalen, and I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit because I'm just, you know, I'm talking about the dude that I love. Like I really, Jalen was a little bit in the wrong era, right? You know, Jalen was so unique even back then that coaches looked at him and they didn't really know what to do with him because he was a big point guard is really what he was. And we had seen big point guards before, you know, Penny was doing it. Magic had done it. We'd seen big point guards before. But he was kind of slow. You know, he kind of moved like Boris Diaw out there. Like he was like sneakily fast, right? If he had been white, it would have been perfect. He like has unsuspecting athleticism, right? The way he moved around the court, it was beautiful. It was kind of like slow motion, but getting by you, but just kind of all about feel. And he just had this great feel for the game. And, you know, all of his coaches, you know, his coaches early on with Denver, then when he got to Indiana, Larry Brown didn't know what to do with him. And then, you know, Larry Bird, I sometimes wonder how 98 would have been different if the Pacers and Larry Bird had trusted Jalen Rose a little bit more against the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals. But like if Jalen was in the NBA today, he would absolutely be a point guard with a usage rate in the low 30s. Wow. And he'd be averaging 8 to 10 assists a game because, you know, he was that guy that could make decisions, that could create for himself, that could create for others. And you just didn't do that back in the 90s and early 2000s, right? It was, you know, the point guard had the ball and Jalen Rose wasn't a point guard. He's got to play off the ball too much. And, you know, but you definitely don't let him make every single decision with the ball like they allow playmakers to do today.
So I like that you brought this up because I was reading earlier today about, you know, his disdain, not disdain. I don't want to say that was like beef because I don't know, but his dismay, I guess, for Larry Brown not playing him at point guard, right? He thought that's the position he should play. And it took Larry Bird literally hanging out with him and rebounding for him at practice, talking for him all the time to go, like, dude, you can do the point guard stuff on the wing. Like, I know you're really good. He made him who he is. He got him to the all-star level, 18 points a game, obviously all that stuff. And Rose credits him a lot, you know. He even said, and to let the world know that regardless of what happened here before with Larry Brown, with me having a career-worst season, he let the world know he was going to let me play and get the most out of me. So clearly, Bird had a big swing there to get him to, you know, playing the way you're describing, point guard-esque, but still being the wing nominally on the court, which I think is interesting. Okay, you had a take in there that we can't just skip over. You messaged this to me before we started anyway, so we'll get to that. And you already talked about the Manu stuff. That was another point you sent me. But yes, the 1998 Bulls series. Very close series. I almost had it. Chris Mullin played a lot in that series, and you think Jalen should have played instead of Chris Mullin.
Yeah, so you're exactly right. Jalen credits Larry Bird for saving his career. And yeah, especially after playing for a couple, you know, couple rough seasons in Denver, comes to Indiana, Larry Brown just buries him. I think in a podcast I heard Jalen actually say that Larry Brown looked him in the eye and said, "I will not play you." Like in no uncertain terms, was like, "I don't like you. You're not my type of player. I will not play." And so, you know, what happens is Larry Bird takes over, and in Larry Bird's first year, he starts playing Jalen, right? 97, 98, averages 9 points a game, you know, 20 minutes a game, didn't start at all, but he was a great guy off the bench. But, you know, if you watch the 98 finals, and I watched three of the games this weekend, they're not using Jalen correctly yet, right? If you watch the 2000 finals compared to the 98 Eastern Conference finals, Jalen is a totally different player. He's been completely empowered. Larry Bird completely trusts him. You know, the Pacers understand exactly how essential he is. Back in 98, he was still kind of lost, drifting on the wing a little bit. And yeah, here's Chris Mullin's stat line for those seven games against the Bulls. Game one, 2 points. Nice game in game two, 18. Then games three through seven, 5 points, 3 points, 8 points, 2 points, 7 points. He was just bad. And Chris Mullin, Hall of Famer, legend. He was not the same guy in 1998 that, you know, at least in that conference finals that he had been for the Pacers for much of that year. He just kind of lost his confidence, couldn't really do a whole lot. And again, you know, the memory is a weird thing. I remember being 11 years old watching the Pacers, you know, piddle away a huge first quarter lead in that game as the Bulls slowly come back. You know, they're down. I think they're down like 65, 69 going into the fourth quarter. Jalen comes in for 4 minutes, makes a couple great entry pass, feeds Smits for an and one, gets two buckets on back-to-back possessions, play decent defense, picks up a loose ball, and then Derek McKee comes in because you got to get the defense, right? And Derek McKee comes in for Jalen Rose, and the entire rest of the game, the Pacers just couldn't do anything against MJ and Scotty, against their quickness on the wings. And, you know, obviously it crests with the horrific Rick Smits, Michael Jordan jump ball that Rick Smits somehow was unable to get. But, you know, I really do believe that if Larry Bird and the Pacers had trusted and empowered Jalen in 98, like they would eventually do a couple years later, I think that series might have been different. With the obvious caveat that, by the way, the dude on the other team, his name's Michael Jordan, and there's probably nothing you're doing to beat that dude in that moment. I totally understand that, but, you know, at the same time, maybe if Jalen had gotten a little more run, maybe they do. I don't know. MJ often said that was one of his toughest series. So it's probably a little bit of a hot take, but as a Jalen Rose stan, I have to bring it up.
Well, when me and Adam get through the finals, I want to watch this series. Obviously, it was a great one. But just to give box score credences to you, because that's who I am. I was I'm not going to say how old I was when this series was happening, but it was not very many years old. Game one and two, Mullin plays more than Rose. Game three, Jalen Rose plays more than Mullin and outscores him. Guess which game they won of the three? I mean,
oh,
I know they were at home for game three, but, you know, you can just zoom out that far and go, oh, good. And then game four, they played Rose 14 more minutes. He outscored Mullin again. They won again. It's like all of a sudden you're thinking, hey, maybe we should get this guy in the game a little more. And then I just went to the fourth quarterback score of game seven. Yeah, 4 points, 2 for 2 shooting right away in that first 4:45, never plays again. So maybe they should have played him more. Who knows? And then he was awesome for the Bulls in the future. So.
And he was suspended for game five of that series for those wonderful good old days in the 90s where if your teammate gets decked and you leave the bench, you miss the game.
What a dumb rule.
Pacers lost by 19 in game five, had no shot without Jalen. I mean, there's probably other reasons they lost that too, but as the Jalen stand, I'm going to say maybe if Jalen's in that game, maybe that game's a little bit different, you know? So yeah, Jalen Rose, kids out there, I have four Pacers jersey, and my favorite one is a pinstripe number 5 for Jalen Rose. When my oldest son was born, the first thing I put him in when we got home was that pinstripe number 5. Jalen Rose is out there. You gotta look back up the old Jalen highlights. I promise you will not be disappointed.
Yeah, he was nuts. Also, I'm looking up him leaving the bench, and I love this. It says Pacers coach Larry Bird tried to get him off, saying he had told Jalen to report to the scorer's table because he was going in to play defense, but the league didn't buy it. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work.
For sure.
Oh, Ron Harper's about to fight Reggie Miller. Hey, Jalen, go check in. We need you for defense. I'm sure that's exactly how it went down. Oh, man. Yeah, you know, I know you've seen a lot more of him and have the takes and have the feeling and an actual value to add to this conversation. But just watching game 2, right? Just these two games, actually. I've only watched game 1 and 2. I'll watch game 3 probably Friday or Saturday. I just never knew how good he was. Like, okay, so I have to tell a story now. NBA Live 2004 was my first basketball video game. And nice. I was playing with the Bulls one time, and I had a game where Jalen Rose, I think I missed one shot with him the entire game, and it was a dunk. And I will never forget that I missed a dunk and made every other shot with him. So I knew who he was because of that, ironically. And I knew he played for the Pacers. I knew he was good. But seeing him be the guy is just so interesting to me because I think 90s Pacers, what I've been told, you know, oh, Reggie Miller, oh, Rick Smits, oh, the Davis guys. Oh, it's like I never hear Jalen be like the guy. And then these finals, he was the guy. And it's just it's crazy to me that he isn't talked about more in the way you're describing. I know I haven't watched the regular season. And again, I didn't have any attachment or feeling involved like you and everyone else. But it's crazy to me that he isn't talked about in a higher light.
Yeah, you know, I think Jalen has one of the more interesting careers. I was talking to our buddy Jared Wade about this afternoon, actually, right? And there were just so many guys from the 90s that coaches just kind of looked at them, and they're like, they just threw their hands up. Like, I don't know. I don't know what you are. I don't know what to do with you, right? And, you know, what's crazy is that, you know, Mark Jackson was there. He's the point guard. That kind of makes sense, right? You're like, okay, he's the guy. You know, he's been in the league for 15 years. You understand. You trust him with the decision making. But then it was like Travis Best would come in, and Travis Best was, you know, God bless him, had some good qualities as a basketball player. You know, an incredible defensive player, very, very quick. But as far as like a creator for himself or others, he just didn't have it. And it would make all the sense in the world for like Jalen, just give Jalen the bench units, right? Just let him take complete control. Like let him be the Lance Stephenson of, you know,
no,
of the
please do not do
recent,
that.
let's say like 2013.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Bench
cool.
plus Lance lineups, right? Like, that's what it should have been. But even then it just wasn't like that because we have this guy that's like 6'6", and he's got these long strides, a very explosive first step, but he's not like a high top speed guy. He's not super athletic as far as like dunking on people. He's a good shooter, but that shot takes a little while to unload. Like, what do we really do with him? Like, we don't know.
Right.
But I promise you, if he was in the NBA today, he would be a very different player with a high usage rate, averaging a lot of assists. You know, 20 and 8 is very reasonable in my mind. 22 and 8, shooting more threes because he was a good 3-point shooter. You know, especially for back then, Jalen Rose. You know, and like he had this weird career where he doesn't do much for Denver. Like, first of all, he stays at Michigan for too long. Then he doesn't do much for Denver. Then he goes to the Pacers where they have a legend coach, Larry Brown, who just buries him. Then he's really good for the Pacers for a couple years, and now he's 30 on the Bulls. You know, like his career is already into that second part of his career where he's like a role player on some bad teams and some good teams, and Kobe scored an 81 on him, and now he's on the Suns, and he's like helping them, and he'll tell you he was still good, but D'Antoni just wouldn't play him. And, you know, he just had this really weird career that these are the careers that will get lost to history. Because if you look at his basketball reference page, you just kind of think, huh, he was a fine player, played a long time. But peak Jalen Peak Jalen was that dude. He really was.
He seems to be. And I really enjoyed watching him hang 30 on the Lakers and be literally the only reason the Pacers had a chance against the Kobe-less Lakers in game two.
Yeah.
Such a frustrating game in retrospect. That's the one. Like, that's the one. I mean, obviously game four or five was this long overtime thriller, but man, if they get game two on the road, they're coming home three in a row. Ugh.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Washi, got any more Jalen Rose stuff you want to drop on me before you get back to your children?
So,
or am I keeping you away? Am I pleasing you by keeping you away from your children?
No, I love my kids, but my youngest daughter was crying for like 45 minutes straight before I got on the phone with you. So that's kind of why I had to push things back.
Fair enough.
I do want to say this. Okay. I was always a Jalen stan. Jalen was always my favorite. Was always my favorite player. Always my favorite Pacer. But I covered the Eastern Conference Finals in 2013 and went to the game. I think I went to game two in Miami back in 2013. And I actually got to meet Jalen Rose for like 45 seconds. And as you know, when you get to go cover a game, there's sometimes a lot of famous people there, especially in like nationally televised games. And you don't want to like just like walk up like goo goo eyes, be like, oh, are you Zach Lowe? Can I shake your hand? Can I talk to you? You don't want to do that. But I couldn't help myself with Jalen, and I walked up to him and I said, Jalen, I've been a Pacer fan forever. You're my favorite Pacer. And he literally stopped what he was doing, and he turned and he looked at me and he shook my hand and he said, that's what's up. Thanks for telling me that. And like he looked at me and like genuinely appreciated what I said and treated me like a real person. And that was a 5 second interaction. But you know, he didn't have to do that. And I just thought that was really cool. And Jalen Rose, I know you're not listening to this, but if this ever gets back to you, you are that dude. And I will carry your water as far as I can to tell Pacers fans for generations.
What if he listens now?
Well, I'm going to tell Pacers fans for generations, just like it says on my Twitter bio, that you were the best player on a finals team.
On the one in a million chance Jalen Rose tunes in here, we'll be talking. Washi, man, I keep calling you Washi. No one knows you as that. John, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate that.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
John will have articles on the Fieldhouse every so often. Check them out. They're always good and have these historical perspectives that I cannot offer you on the show or via writing. And of course, you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. And Washi, I forget your Twitter. In 49 states, I think, is yours?
Yep. In 49 states, et cetera.
ETC. There we go. Okay. You can follow John there for Pacers and other musings. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you tomorrow.